For those of you just joining us, in the last segment, I read an article entitled Dangerous Retirement Planning Advice from Financial Guru Dave Ramsey. Read it virtually without comment, other than I started off the article saying that we've been a friend of the Motley Fools for years, and so I was more than a little disappointed to find this title trashing me, even though he spends a lot of the article saying nice things about me and then goes on to basically say that my financial advice is dangerous, or our investing advice, my retirement planning advice is dangerous. Brian Stoffel is the author of that. His bio says, for 6 years after graduating from Grinnell College, Brian was a middle school teacher. Five of them were spent in inner city Washington, D.C. at Kipp Charter School, focused on getting 100% of students accepted to college. In 2010, Brian and his wife took time off to move to Costa Rica, reevaluate their life priorities. 6 months later, having been an avid blogger on finance and stocks on the Motley Fools discussion boards, Brian entered the Motley Fools Writer Development Program. He's been writing for The Fool for over 2 years and has three public portfolios that he maintains for the public to see, all of which are beating the S&P 500. He's graduated from Grinnell College with, according to his bio here, with an English degree in English language and literature. And so he has agreed to come on the air with us. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for inviting me on the show so we can discuss this. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, too. I appreciate you taking time to come out and join us. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. Have you attended our classes, Financial Peace University, the 9-week or the old 13-week series?
I have not.
Okay. Have you read the book, The Total Money Makeover?
I've read some of it, not all of it. I've got a copy right in front of myself right now.
Have you read Financial Peace that I wrote, the first book? None of those. Okay. Have you listened to the radio show that I do?
Yes, I have.
At length?
On and off. It depends. Obviously more recently, but in the past I have as well, and I've heard all of your appearances on the Motley Fool Money podcast as well.
Okay. All right. Which I don't think we talked about this, if I remember, on those podcasts. I think we were talking about debt reduction on those.
Yeah, I think that was the main focus in those pieces.
Yeah, because Tom and David's idea, and obviously your idea, is to maintain a portfolio of single stocks, which is not what we recommend. And but we've had a lot of mutual respect up until now. And that, you know, so we, you know, I don't think we've broached that subject on those podcasts because I didn't want to argue with them in their living room. I didn't think that was proper manners. And I do like what the work that The Fool has done. They've done great work. Mm-hmm. So you've not read the books. You've not been to the classes. Have you attended one of our live events?
No.
Not been to that. So your extent of your exposure to analyze my position on my retirement planning advice is from a tweet and from reading the one article on the website?
No, not necessarily. Like I said, I've read some of the book and I've listened to your radio shows as well.
Okay. But from that, you were able to ascertain what we teach people to do for retirement planning completely. Because that's interesting to me. Because you really took a pretty thin slice here in order to take a shot at me.
It definitely, I would agree that 99% of probably what you might say is good advice and what I might are pretty much the same. I think the danger is that in where we disagree, there can be consequences based on the assumptions we use for retirement planning. And I think examining the consequences of our different approaches it's important for us to discuss. It's important for people to learn about so they can make their own decisions.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that you made a set of assumptions about what we teach and you didn't know what you were talking about. That's the problem. Because you basically have said that, you know, I tell people to save $97 a month based on a 12% rate of return and do all of your calculations based on a 12% rate of return and thereby don't save enough. If you had learned, for instance, from the Total Money Makeover book that's in front of you, baby step 4 is to save not a set amount based on a projected rate of return, but to instead to save 15% of your income towards retirement. Mm-hmm. Which at any calculation, any actual calculation, short of you know, inflation adjustment and so forth, which we'll come to in a few minutes, puts people, if they start that in a reasonable age, in a place of retiring with dignity. And so the problem comes when I teach people to save 15% of their income, and I teach them to spread it across four types of mutual funds. Are you familiar with that part of my advice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Growth and income. I don't have them memorized, but yes, I am familiar with all four.
Aggressive growth and international. Right. Mm-hmm. And if they had done that when I started on the radio, or when I first wrote that in the book Financial Peace, and they had done that for the last 20 years, they would have had a pretty strong rate of return. Would you be able to analyze and figure that out?
Oh, I'm sure that they would have.
Okay. All right. And so if they were to read your article or follow your tweet that says dangerous retirement planning advice, and you could end up with zero following Dave Ramsey. So they go, oh, we can't trust Dave Ramsey anymore because Brian says that his advice is not trustworthy. It's dangerous. And so we need to stop investing. Sir, you've done an incredible disservice to your readership then.
Well, I don't
think
anywhere in the article
people I had motivated.
Zero. I don't think that anywhere I said that you would be at zero. I said that if you use 12%, if you believe that the annualized returns will be 12%, based on history from, I used your starting point from 1926 until now, it's not an annualized return of 12%. It's 9.9. Mm-hmm. And those numbers look close, but
well, that, you know, that may be what the Yale professor says, but the S&P website says 11.82 through 2012.
Right. The S&P website, as far as I understand, says that the average
annual
return is 11.
Return.
Point, right, the average annual return is 11.88 is what I have, but 8.2.
Okay.
But
pretty close to 12 since 1926.
Exactly. And I understand that, since 1926. But if you take the annualized return, and I hate doing this because both words sound so close, and if I were listening to the radio now and I was just hearing about it, it can be hard to tell the difference, but an annualized return is a much more accurate way of seeing, well, what can I expect to get every year over 40 years? And that number is 9.9% or 9.87 is what I have.
Okay.
Again, those are close numbers, but over 40 years, they make an enormous difference in what one can expect to have when they retire.
Right. But I think we can agree that my goal was to get people to save.
Absolutely.
And if you want to split hairs about whether it's 9.97, 11.82, or 12, or whether I go to some specific fund examples, you know, like ICA as an example. You're familiar with Investment Company of America?
I'm not.
Okay. It's the oldest, largest mutual fund in America. And I'm not recommending them. I don't endorse particular funds. It's not what we do, but it opened in 1934 and it has an average annual fund lifetime rate of return of 12.3%. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the Growth Fund of America, another one in that same fund family, has an average annual return since 1973 of 13.54%. Mm-hmm. So between 11.88, 12, 13, is kind of where I get my 12 to use as an example to inspire people. But I've never handed out a formula that says, you know, don't save any more money because you're going to get 12%. I use this as a teaching illustration. And that's fairly obvious if you've ever listened to me, if you've ever been to one of my events, if you've ever been to any of my classes, or if you ever actually read my books, which is where I teach people how to do retirement planning advice. And so,
and I guess what I would say is, if it's just for education, why not use 9.9 instead of 12?
Why not use 12?
Because
you don't like it?
Well, because it's not factual. It's not what.
Well, I just gave you the facts, son.
Annualized return.
All right, I tell you what. Hold on. We're going to come back from this break, and we'll talk it through a little more. Brian Stoffel joins us this half hour, who wrote the article Dangerous Retirement Planning Advice from Financial Guru Dave Ramsey under the Motley Fool heading, and we're discussing my dangerous retirement planning advice. Brian, let's go back to the article for a second. I'm having trouble, and I'll be transparent with you. I cannot find it on my website. It could be there. If it is, it shouldn't be there. But we've looked and we can't find where I said 12% adjusted for inflation.
If you will, I could tell you. Do you want me? It's in the frequently asked questions on your website.
Yeah, that's what we pulled from the 12% reality, okay. Or the article. Yes, you can make 12% with your mutual funds. These are where I answered all of these critiques by people like you. Before.
What it says on the link, there is a link on my article.
Uh-huh.
And where it says I found this claim, it's right under where it has your tweet.
Hey, guys, jump on that and pull it in the booth right quick and check it, okay? Because if that's on there, we need to correct that. Because it is not adjusted for inflation. That is, if that's on there, that's a mistake.
I figured that was probably an error and it wasn't something that
Why didn't you say so? Why didn't you just use? Why did you just use that to continue to rip me then?
Well, because there's no way that I can know who does it. That, you know. It's,
but I mean, why didn't you say Dave probably knows better than this? This might be an error. But instead, you used it as one of the primary reasons to say don't listen to Dave Ramsey's advice.
Well, because even if it's not adjusted for inflation, the argument or the thesis underlying it is still the same.
But you didn't say it. You just went off on it. Okay. Anyway, so it may be in there, and I'll give you that. If it's in there, we made a mistake.
Okay.
And that's on me and my team as well for posting something. And I try to read the stuff that's got my name over it, but I don't always. Now, the difference, of course, I think your biggest argument that you should have stuck with to help you next time is the difference in average annual and compounded annual. The CAGR versus average annual as a mathematical analysis is a fair criticism of a more fair criticism of my 12%. But the point is that the 12% is an example, and it is not an error. I didn't say 17%. It's not a return that can't be substantiated. I've just given you at least two mutual funds. I could give you 20 more, and I'm not going to. We just talked about the S&P's own website, and you said 11.88. I thought it said 11.82, both dangerously close to 12. So we're down to splitting hairs between a couple of financial nerds on how something's calculated in a world where people don't save money, and your job and my job is to cause them to save money. And you kept them from doing that by discrediting me.
Well, I totally agree. I think that it is, on some level, nitpicking. The problem is that when we look at the difference between a return at what you're saying and what I'm saying over 40 years, someone who's planning on getting the 12% because that's what they've heard.
Not if they follow my advice. Let me give you an example. The average household income in America today is $48,000. We established earlier that baby step 4 in the total money makeover, which is laying in front of you, now you're reading it, says 15% is saved of your income into retirement. That'd be $7,200 a year. Were you to save from age 30 to age 70, $7,200 a year, if you average 12% rate of return, put that in your HP calculator, be $7.4 million. I've said that in arenas full of 10,000 people. And do you remember the first time you saw compound interest, how inspiring it is?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so that's what happens in an arena when I'm standing on stage and the first time someone sees, I make $48,000 a year, $7.4 million. Do you think that they're all actually going to save exactly 15% of exactly $48,000 for exactly 40 years? I don't. I think some of them are going to do a lot more. Some of them are going to do a lot less. Some of them are going to make a better rate of return because they start fooling with some stuff like real estate. Some of them are going to make less return because they jump in and out of the market because they don't keep professional management. The reality is, though, that someone I just showed someone how if they save money on an average income, they could retire with $7.4 million. And you know what the joke line I use after that, Brian, is? Hey, if I'm freaking half wrong, you're still okay.
And you're absolutely right. I think what we're getting to at this point is I agree that 99% of what's going on is great. And you're upset because
I'm upset because you trashed my credibility.
And so I guess what I would say is, again, why not just say 9.9% then?
Because it's my show. And I've got documentation, and I just gave you 12% coming out my freaking ears. 12%, Brian. The average annual rate of return of the S&P is 12%. Now, if you don't like the way I did the math, then you tell people 9.9%, and you and I'll agree to disagree, like Tom and I do about a few things, and we'll still be friends. Or like Robert Kiyosaki, who's a good friend of mine, we don't agree about borrowing money on real estate, but we're still friends. And I don't write articles saying Robert Kiyosaki is a deadbeat. Stay away from him.
And I understand that it sounds like the heading of the article, you didn't have a problem with the body of the article, it was the heading of the article.
Well, I had a problem with the body as well. The heading, number one, you use to get people to read your blog because you pick on somebody that's got a bigger brand than you've got. I get that. And trashing people with bigger brands is a way to grow your brand. Some people do that. I don't trash Susie Orman to get my brand to be bigger. She and I don't agree on a lot of things, but I do respect the body of work that she's put out there. And I don't need to pick on Susie for me to go win. So, yeah, I'm pretty pissed about the title, to say the least. But the body of the article is also just freaking wrong. It's your analysis. You've been doing this for a whole 2 years.
What part is wrong?
The part that's wrong is that you have assumed that my teaching involves someone only saving a certain amount based on a 12% calculation. My teaching has 12% as an illustration. I can back it up with mutual funds that have that as an average annual return and the S&P that has that as an average annual return. And so the illustration is not wildly crazy. I didn't say get 30% on your money or 18% on your money. I used an actual market standard. You don't like the methodology and the calculation, which I don't have a problem with. But that doesn't mean that I am leading people to ruin. And then when they read your article, they think I'm not trustworthy and they can't trust me, so they stop saving because I taught them to save.
Well, if they don't trust you because of my article, then I have done a disservice.
Well, you have. Dangerous retirement planning advice?
And I know that we keep going back to the heading, but I really do believe that if they read the whole thing, you know, I finish it by saying I'm not sure why you're harping on the 12% figure. I am too.
Okay. Do you understand now why I'm harping on it?
But they'd be well served to dial down their assumptions. I don't think anywhere in the article I said.
What is the point? What is the point, though? Why do you need to analyze me? Why can't you just go give your advice?
Because honestly, because I think that there are a lot of people that follow what you do. Some people follow all of it.
Yeah, and they're not being harmed by that, Brian.
But some people might not follow all of it. They might.
Well, that's not on me. That's not my advice that they're following then. If they don't follow what I teach, then I'm not giving dangerous advice that caused them to fail.
Well, for the people who might, you could even say irresponsibly, see the tweet that says save 100 per month and, you know, from 25 to 65.
Listen, son, anybody who does investing based on one tweet is a twit. Seriously.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think that adding a perspective of what the compounded annual growth rate is and the difference between that and
that's a fine academic discussion from an English teacher to a guy who has, or from a person with an English degree to a guy who has a finance degree and has been licensed and been teaching this stuff for 20 years, and you've been in the business 2 years. We could have that discussion, and we can argue about credibility if we want to have that discussion. But that's just ridiculous for you to come after me on this, and it's not going to be okay with me, dude. I'll just tell you. I respect the work of the fool, and I respect your right to write on this, and I'm glad you're in the business. And, you know, but if you keep on with this, you and me are going to have a problem.
Well, I think that the point that I was trying to get across has been gotten across. You know, in the end, I think that investors, unless they're really focused on building out a portfolio and devoting time to that, I personally think that they'd be well.
And you'd be personally wrong. That's the point. This is the Dave Ramsey Show.